morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for over 30 years now. And that's with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, and then our friends over at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then with our friends at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. Hey, it's such a joy to come together and to sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. And so as we continue our journey through the scriptures, where everywhere I look, I see portraits of God, the portrait that has been just touching me more and more deeply as I get older is how He is our deeper joy. Did you know the Lord Himself is our deeper joy? I have 10 takeaways for us as we go through the scriptures to see that particular portrait. And of course, we're not going to do it all today. It'll be over the next few weeks. So I hope you'll be tuning in. It's good to have you this morning. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be starting over in Psalm 105, as we launch this new portrait of God, how He is our deeper joy. And hey, as you're making your way over to Psalm 105, just a reminder that all of these messages, all of these portraits of God, are archived on my website at markpg.org. You can listen on demand there, markpg.org, and just click on the broadcast box. Hey, if you want to see 3-minute videos of different portraits of God, click on the video box and it'll take you over to my YouTube channel there. Also, there are articles and some quick help guides, all of them designed to help you hear God. So check it out, would you? Over at markpg.org to help you hear God and grow deeper and deeper in Him. So, as I mentioned, He is our deeper joy. Let's get started. And as we do, and as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm just so grateful that I have the privilege of coming together with my brothers and sisters, and we can just sit at Your feet, abiding in You, listening for Your heart, Lord. And, you know, it's no secret that these are very difficult times, the post-COVID era and all the economic uncertainty and a lot of anger in our culture and so many hot issues that people just cannot agree upon. I mean, it's hard to find joy. But, Lord, we're discovering that You are our joy, our deeper joy, no matter what our circumstances are. And so, Lord, as we take this journey together, I pray that we will cultivate the art of abiding in You to the point where no matter what we're experiencing, deep down, there's a joy in the midst of the darkness. Thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, as we start our journey today, we're going to Psalm 105, verse 43. And here's the idea. The Lord, our deeper joy, comes when we, number one, if you're a note taker, there'll be 10 of these in the next few weeks. The Lord, our deeper joy, comes when we, number one, remember that He chose us. And we're going deep right off the bat. Remember that He chose us. Listen to this in Psalm 105, verse 43. It says, "And He brought forth His people with joy, His chosen ones, with a joyful shout." So here you have this whole thing about joy. He brought forth His people with joy, His chosen ones, with a joyful shout. Why? Because there's something about being chosen that is just remarkable. It is so encouraging. It is so joyful. In fact, let me just kind of set it in a New Testament context as well. The scripture says over in Ephesians chapter 3, if you want to, excuse me, chapter 1, if you want to jot this down, Ephesians 1 verse 3 and following. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Oh my goodness. There's so much here. This is a sermon series in this one passage, all of its own. But I want to make it germane to our topic today and the next few weeks about how he is our deeper joy. And I want to unpack this incredible truth that somehow in the mystery of God's ways, he chose us to adoption as sons and as daughters. He chose us to be his own. We were hand-picked. Let me take you back to when we were all in grade school. Remember when you'd be out at recess and they wanted to pick sides to play volleyball or dodgeball or softball or kickball or something, whatever game was going to be played. You had that very uncomfortable time when you had two captains and one by one they started picking people and you're just hoping, you're just praying, please, please don't let me be the last one chosen. Now, those of you who were some of the first ones chosen because you were good athletes or you're bigger, stronger, faster than the other kids, you love this process. No problem, man. You just find out who would be the good ones. But then as the selection went on and the others who weren't so gifted, they were gifted in different ways but not athletically, then it was like, oh, man, I don't want to have to take him. You take him. Oh, I don't want her. You take her. Okay, well, I'm going to take her. And you just felt so, so small. There's nothing like being chosen for who you are. Chosen, selected, handpicked, wanted. That brings joy, my friends. So when you stop and think that when it came to that day of your salvation, which is going to be number two, we're going to talk about that. Even before that, somehow in the mystery of God's ways, he chose you, according to scriptures, in the Lord, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, blameless before him. He predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters. Now, let me just go to the theology of this briefly. We all know that this is one of the classic difficulties in scripture. How do you reconcile this idea that God predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters or to salvation? You know, does that mean we don't have a choice? No, it does. You still have a choice. Why? Because the scripture tells us that for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You have to choose, in addition to the reality that somehow, in some way, in the mix of it all, you happen to have been chosen. What about people who want to get saved and they weren't chosen? They don't exist. That's like saying, what if you had a two-headed person and one head wants to be saved, but the other head doesn't want to be saved? What's going to happen to that person? Well, there's no such thing, so why talk about it? All right, there's no such thing as a person being drug into salvation. Rather, it's a person going on a journey and having their eyes opened in the Lord to see their need for a Savior. They see their need to be saved. And it's like when they do make that decision to say, I do, to the invitation to become the bride of Christ, to become one with him, to covenant with him. When we say, I do, and we walk through that door of salvation as the bride with our bridegroom, it just so happens that over the doorway, as we go through it, as we turn around, it says, by the way, it just so happens, you were chosen. It's something that we kind of find out, in a sense, after the fact. It's a mystery. You can't totally explain it because it's in the mind of God, and he is infinite and we are finite. And one of the classic illustrations to help us deal with this is like, okay, picture a train track, and it's like train tracks, the two rails, they're parallel to each other, they don't meet. So you have like the doctrine of free will on the one track, but then you have the doctrine of being chosen or predestination on the other track. They do not mix well in this world. But as that train track goes on up into glory and into infinity, somehow, some way, in the mystery of God's infinite ways, way beyond our capacity to understand, somehow those two tracks come together as a unit, as a oneness, that's the way it simply is. In the mind and in the mystery of God, I don't have to explain it or be able to get my head around it for it to be true, because his ways are not my ways. They're far beyond our capacity to reconcile. And so another classic story is how people say, how do you reconcile these two great truths of predestination and free will? And the classic answer is, you don't have to reconcile, friends. They're already friends. We just can't see it in this temporal world with our limited minds, but somehow in the infinite reality of God in the heavenly places, the doctrine of free will and the doctrine of predestination, being chosen, are friends. They're one. They're reconciled. It works out. And I, for one, don't have to be able to logically reconcile it. I just want to receive it. He chose us. One gospel passage says, you did not choose him, but he chose you. Incredible. Again, don't get bogged down requiring your finite, limited mind to try to totally understand how those two things can be both true at the same time and yet seem absolutely contradictory. Don't get bogged down there. Let the Lord take you on higher up into his ways by trust, not reason, but by trust, trusting that God, you know what you're doing. You set this up. Somehow you chose us. That's the divine side. And yet we have to say, I do. That's the human side. And you have to have both for there to be the light of salvation. Incredible. Amazing. One last story to kind of button this up. So if I were to walk into a room where there's a group of people and the sun had been going down, but nobody bothered to turn on the lights, and I walk in and I flip a light and get ready to flip a light switch. So I say, let there be light. And I flip a switch and poof, the whole room lights up and everybody applauds. Wow, what a powerful human being. He provided light in the darkness. Well, okay, yes and no. Yes, I was the one who flipped a switch to give light in the place, but anybody can flip a switch. The greater miracle, the thing that's due greater glory, were all the people and all the time and all the science it took to come up with harnessing electricity and wiring the house and inventing the light bulbs and doing all that stuff. I don't have to go through, you know, there's a ton of stuff that has to take place in a home before you can flip a switch and there's poof, light. But here's the thing, which is more important than all of that preparatory work and invention and building and design and connection and electrical work? Is that more important or is flipping the switch important? Well, they're equally important, because without either one, you're still in darkness. If nobody ever flipped the light switches, you would stay in the darkness, you'd bump into each other, you'd drop stuff, it'd be scary. Somebody needs to flip the switch. Well, that's how salvation works. That's how him choosing us works. It's a far greater miracle. Far more things had to take place to make it possible for me to flip the switch and say, I do, to Jesus Christ. Both, though, are needed. But he gets far more glory. My friend, when you're discouraged, when you're feeling like you don't have a place in this world. You're not sure who you are or where you're going. And your heart is just heavy. Remember, if you're a child of the living God, He chose you. And you responded to that choice, whether you realize it or not. You were chosen right at the beginning of the game, not the last one that had to be taken at all. Remember, He chose you. Well, let's go on to number two. As I mentioned, it's about salvation. So in Psalm 51:12, the Bible says this, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, O Lord, and sustain me with a willing spirit." Or another translation says, "And renew a right spirit within me." We lose our sense of joy when we lose our appreciation for the gift of our salvation. So here's the takeaway for number two. We've just seen that the Lord, our deeper joy comes when we remember that He chose us. But number two, our deeper joy comes when we explore His gift of our salvation. Have you explored God's gift of your salvation? Have you just thought through all that that actually means, all that has happened to you, all that is available to you because you accepted His gift of salvation? I just got a smartwatch not too long ago, and I got the little instruction booklet and all the different, you know, touchscreen things you can do with the thing. Oh my goodness, there are so many things. Same thing with an iPhone, same thing with a laptop. There are so many features to explore. And the more you explore and discover them, the more you're amazed and blessed. Well, isn't it amazing that we don't explore the gift of our salvation very much? We kind of think we got our ticket to escape hell and we get to go to heaven, yay. And that's kind of about it. Or I'm saved and you're not, and that's about it. No, my friend, there's so much more going on. Let me give you just kind of a brief glimpse of what happened and can continue to deepen when you come to Christ, when you accept His invitation to marry Him, His proposal to enter covenant with Him, to give your life to Him, and He becomes your bridegroom, your Lord, your Master, your Savior. So let's explore this. All right. If you're going to take some sub-points on this one as we explore His gift of salvation, first word you want to write down is rescue. Do you realize you were rescued when you were saved? I mean, the Scripture says over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Okay, that's a pretty bad state of mind. Our spirit was utterly dead. We need to be saved. We need to be rescued from our deadness and spirit to Him. You were dead in your trespasses and sin, verse 2, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that would be the Satan, of course, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them too, all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So let me stop there a minute. Our deadness, our rebellion, our evil natures and lustful hearts, I mean, we were just absolutely imprisoned. In fact, over in 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26, it talks about how we need to escape from the snare of the devil, being held captive by him to do his will. So let's take an inventory. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. We are, before saved, we're dead in our trespasses and sin. We are blinded by the god of this world, another scripture says. We're in the snare of the devil, another scripture says. Well, that's a pretty pitiful sight. It's like hanging upside down in a dungeon, blindfolded, hands tied behind our backs, swaying to and fro on this kind of meat hook from our ankles and stuff, with that blindfold and arms tied behind us. And we're saying, I love being in charge of my own life. I don't want to give this up to Jesus Christ. Well, hello, you're not in charge at all. You're being totally dominated by the evil one. You need to be rescued from that dungeon, hanging upside down on that meat hook, blindfolded, hands behind your back, swaying to and fro with the stupidity and the arrogance and the ignorance of thinking you're controlling your life. Oh, when the Lord opens your eyes to the bondage of sin and the seduction of the enemy and our need for a rescuing Savior, my friend, that is what salvation is talking about. So that's one of the subpoints under exploring his gifts of our salvation, rescued. Second, new bride. Do you know that you're a new bride? When you got saved, you married, you entered into covenant with the bridegroom, whose name is Jesus Christ. And it's not like he's Prince Charming and we're Cinderella. The reality is he is Prince Charming, the Prince of Peace, but we're the evil stepsisters. We're in that snare of the devil. We're in the snare of sin. We are doomed to hell forever. And so we need to be rescued, and yet Prince Charming sees us, and rather than seeing a Cinderella who's sweet and kind and beautiful and loving and all, he sees evil stepsisters that are full of themselves and selfish and wanting their own way. And he says, you know what? I can change you. I'm willing to marry you. You don't earn salvation. It's a gift. I'm willing to give you the gift of salvation. I'm willing to offer you a proposal to be my bride. Have you thought about that? And it's saying yes. What, me? I don't deserve it. No, you don't. But I love you, and I see the potential in you, and I will marry you. I will covenant with you. When we say yes to that, my friends, we become a new bride to the bridegroom. That is who you are. Then he makes us the Cinderellas. Not perfect, but en route. Because what else happens? Here's a third word you can write down under exploring the gift of your salvation. Not just rescued, not just a new bride, but transformed. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. In fact, you can add a fourth point, new creation. A new creation. The Bible says, if any man or any woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become or been transformed into something new. It's an easy illustration. It's when a caterpillar enters a chrysalis. It's a worm, basic, but it gets transformed into a butterfly that's beautiful and with wings and can fly out and smell the flowers and enjoy the skies. Not so as a caterpillar worm. When we're unsaved, we're like a caterpillar worm. But when we get saved, transformed, we become new creations. Those old things have been passed away. That is another whole sermon series. One last thing under this. So we said that exploring our gift of salvation and getting joy is we are discovering that we're rescued, that we're a new bride, that we're transformed, that we're new creations. We talked beforehand that we're adopted sons and daughters. We're born again believers into the household of God. We're handpicked. We're chosen. Oh my goodness, the joy is just coming, realizing who we are in Christ. And there is a oneness. In marriage, we say the two become one. That's the picture here on earth. But in the spirit realm, we become one with Christ. There is a oneness. There is a unity there that we have the mind of Christ and that we abide in Christ and that he abides in us. Astounding. New creations are able to have a oneness in Christ that's just unbelievably close and intimate. Oh, my friends, when we start exploring his gift of our salvation, Psalm 51:12, which we read earlier, comes alive. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, O Lord, and sustain me with a willing spirit. You start meditating on this, chewing on this, all of this, which is the fruit of our salvation. When we explore his gift of our salvation, the joy of the Lord is right there with us at the deepest levels of our heart, which means no matter what's going on around us, no matter what the challenges are, no matter what suddenly comes up, health issues, financial issues, relational issues. You know, yesterday I'm driving down the road, there's a car accident right in front of me. Somebody rear-ends another person. I'm thinking, bless their hearts, that's going to be misery for the next hour to solve this out in the middle of traffic and all like that. And we had a blackout in our neighborhood for 8 hours the other night, you know, and we had to move food from the house to our office. Things are going to happen in this world, but we do not have to have our hearts and our spirits dampened by the challenges and the disappointments and the surprises and the tribulations of life. Why? Because we can just remember He chose us. We're a chosen people. We're the bride of Christ. We're new creations. We're one with Him. And in that context, Lord, bring it on. Doesn't matter what comes on. I am one with You. You chose me. And that's a deeper joy that cannot be taken away. If you let your joy rest in the circumstances of this world or the things of this world, you'll be constantly disappointed. But if you put it in someone who is not of this world, it is a game changer. He is our deeper joy. Remember that He chose us and explore His gift of our salvation. Oh Lord, this is deep stuff. Thank You for being that kind of God for us, Lord. We can have our deeper joy in You. May we learn to walk in that and receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Oh, I hope you check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with the Lord, your deeper joy.